you like talent, this is the place for you. Welcome back to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast, where talent is always the factor. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, my brother, Keith Sanchez. Baby, what's up?
Mic check, mic check. My mic is hot, DP, baby. That means it's time to talk some football. Let's go.
Let's talk some ball, man. And, man, it's been an eventful week in the world of college football in terms of recruiting and some big news, right? And that's kind of how we're going to lead and really kick this thing off with. But before we do that, let's go ahead and give a quick shout out to our partners over at BetOnline, as they continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's NHL hockey finals, the Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Now, talking about starting, like game starting, right? Like recruiting, as you know, is a game in itself, right? You playing against a lot of different players amongst the entire country, right? For these top tier recruits. And one of the bigger names has finally said, this is going to be the place I call home. Arch Manning commits to the University of Texas, Keith. Real quick, how do we feel about this right now? Because Texas has a lot of five-star quarterbacks now, with Quinn Ewers already there, which we've talked about, you know, months ago when we talked about just kind of the preview and the quarterback situation and Texas overall, but they got some other recruits at quarterback coming in as well. How's this shaking up right now for us?
Yeah, so, you know, first of all, for our listeners, this is probably we got this news 10 minutes ago, right? So
right.
We haven't even had enough time to fully digest this news. But, man, instantly I thought about that quarterback room because obviously they got the transfer. Quinn Ewers there, who's supposed to be this, you know, all-world quarterback and, you know, future top five pick. And then we just left as the draft the Draft Network. We just left California where we was able to talk with another one of the quarterbacks, the backup quarterback, Malik Murphy, who's another four-star, five-star kid. And then you add Arch Manning into that mix. I think this has to be the most highly touted quarterback room in the country now, right? Like if you add Arch Manning to this mix. So I think it's interesting because obviously his family, you know, I'm more than sure they dotted the I's and crossed the T's, right? Like they've been through this three, four, five times. They've been around football their whole entire life. So I was wondering what made Texas interesting for them, right? And I think this had to be just solely a testament to Steve Sarkisian and his offensive mind, because you're talking to the Manning family about football. So you better be highly competent in football if you're going to talk to those guys about that and quarterback play in recruiting visits. So I thought that it was interesting that they chose Texas. And if I have to lean to one thing, I guess it has to be their head coach, just his ability to kind of just lead the charge, you know, just talking football and allowing the Manning family to feel comfortable about sending their son there.
Well, absolutely, man. Like I said, I mean, this is a commitment that everyone in the college football world has been waiting on. I think most people assumed he was an SEC-bound quarterback, right? Georgia, right. Maybe he goes to Tennessee. Like, everybody was expecting him to land in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, not to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
He plays high school football in New Orleans. So mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of LSU fans that are extremely disappointed. And, you know, my time at LSU, we've been watching Arch Manning film since his seventh grade year. So, you know, that just goes to show you how long and, you know, just how big of a get this is to pull this guy out of the state of Louisiana, him to forego, you know, going to LSU.
No, and like I said, you talk about Malik Murphy and you got Quinn Ewers, and just to kind of wrap it up, like, a lot of people, you know, I've seen so many tweets now because the news just broke, like you said, maybe 20 minutes ago via Arch Manning's Twitter page. And the first thing everybody tweets is, well, you know, Quinn Ewers is going to transfer, or when does Ewers transfer? Who transfers first? And I'm going to be honest with you, Keith, just my initial reaction right now without fully processing, I don't think anybody transfers, like, out of those two. I think Quinn Ewers plays this season as the starter, plays because when the 2023 season starts, that would be the freshman year of Arch Manning. And Quinn Ewers will more than likely play and start and play that entire season going into the 2024 NFL draft. After that, it's Arch Manning and Malik Murphy if Malik Murphy doesn't transfer. But I don't think Quinn Ewers, unless he goes out and bombs, right? Like, and he just doesn't play well. And then Steve Sarkisian and Brendan Marion or Coach Marion, they're looking at this thing like, man, maybe he should start as a true freshman. Like, we don't like the vibe we've gotten from Ewers. But, I mean, you look what Ewers just went through. Being at Ohio State, C.J. Stroud's first game in Minnesota, he's not playing well. Ewers did not even make the trip to Minnesota, Keith. But the entire Ohio State fan base were like, get Ewers on the private jet. Let's get him in here for the second half. They were ready to bench Stroud off the rip because, you know, a lot of fans don't know how to showcase patience. Now they love Stroud, right? So whatever happens, Texas fans, just be patient. Let Ewers get rolling. Don't try to kill him off the rip because you got Arch Manning coming in. Let the young man ball.
So what it sounds like to me is that you're saying that Malik Murphy is on his way out. Because that's the guy that you counted out, right? You said that Quinn's gonna be there. You said that Arch is going to be there. Then Malik, you kind of just left him in between. you know, you left a question mark by his name. So,
yeah,
so,
no, yeah. I definitely think he's going to be the odd man out. And I think it's more so not even an issue with his talent, his physical tools. I think it's just politics, right? Like, you know how it is. Like, inside those four walls, it's like, all right. And don't get me wrong, Malik – he could end up developing into a better quarterback than Arch, which I know some people don't want to hear that as a possibility, but he could. But even though he could, that doesn't mean he's going to get the chance to do it at Texas. So it's like for him, he's got to now weigh his options and figure out. And then you think about with NIL and schools now being more aggressive with transfers. If he throws his name in there, like, you know what? Even if he goes to Texas and spends his first year on campus next year, and he's like, you know what? Nah, this is not gonna work for me. And he puts his name in that ring. If he throws his name in the hat, oh yeah, yo, he's gonna have some callers.
Guess what?
Hotline bling. What Drake said? Hotline bling. Yeah, it's gonna be blinging. His phone's gonna be ringing, man.
Yeah, I'm more than sure he won't have to go very far. I'm more than sure Jimbo Fisher will be right there. Scoop him on up.
Something he's been needing for like a decade is a legit quarterback because he is making waves in terms of recruiting. But Keith, to kind of transition, we talking about recruiting. Man, Louisville. Let's give a quick shout out to Louisville.
Yeah, God, I want to tell him congratulations first and foremost before I get into my spiel. that's a big time get, right? Like they had a hell of a recruiting official visit weekend, and they were able to nab, some deemed the number one running back, five-star kid, highly coveted by every program in the nation, and Louisville was able to get him. So first, I want to say congratulations, then I'm going to pass it off on to you, you know, let you get out what you have to get out before, you know, I give my spiel.
Nah, I was going to say congratulations to them too because it's a big get. And right now, for the 2023 recruiting cycle, they are ranked 11th in the nation overall from what I'm seeing. And head coach Scott Satterfield has to be excited for what's going on with his program right now. To have a top 12 recruiting class for the school of Louisville, then to grab the top-ranked running back in a lot of polls and a lot of rankings, Reuben Owens. When I was reading up on him, a lot of the high school scouts and everything, they compare him to Alabama's kind of old school throwback, not even a throwback name. He's not in the league right now, but T.J. Yeldon, when he was at Bama, who was a really talented running back himself. So Keith being able to nab this young man, Reuben Owens, and then, of course, pairing that with the recruiting class that they already have, like, this bodes well for a school that most people would not deem a luxury landing spot in terms of college football.
Yeah, and you know, like we said last time, I say congratulations, but my next thing is hold on. Hold on. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. We are talking about a commitment in June. Mm-hmm. We still have to play this next football season. And so, you know, just to give our listeners just kind of a look into official business, right? That is basically going on a weekend getaway trip where schools and teams and coaches are pulling out their very best, right? Everything that they have to offer, they're unloading and unleashing on a family to make that family feel as though that school is the best option for them, right? And so you have to give credit to Louisville because whatever they did, you know, throughout the recruiting process up until that point, and then at the official visit, they made the Owens family feel comfortable enough to commit there. Now, the commitment is done, but the national letter of intent is not signed, right? So right. Commitment is a commitment. And I was always worried about that, right? Like whenever we got a kid at LSU to commit early, that always made me nervous because now when a kid isn't committed and you're a lower school hanging in the weeds, not many people are talking about you, right? So you have the ability to kind of skate through and, you know, recruit the kid and you don't have to worry about any of those bullets coming your way. But now, best believe, everybody knows who the number one target is. Those bullets are coming that way. So, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about it, and let's say if I'm Alabama or if I'm Georgia, and I'm saying, man, you're really going to go to Louisville. They'll probably win 5 games next year. You're going to, mm-hmm. you know, you're playing in the ACC. You're not playing in, you know, the SEC. What does their offensive line look like? Will those coaches be there next year? You know, so it allows now for those programs to direct all of that negative energy directly your way. So my number one thing for them is, man, hold on, because this is a long process. Like I said before, this is a marathon, and it is a very long marathon. And before signing day, that week or two before signing day, it gets even longer, right? And so I worry about it. And kudos to the kid, right? And credit to him for not wanting to go with the wave, right? He doesn't want to go with the momentum thing, and he kind of wants to build his own path. I love that thought process. But I'm going to tell you another thing that I've seen on both sides of it. When it's week 7 of the college football season and Alabama is on TV and they're hanging 55 points on Mississippi State, right? And then Louisville, you cut on the TV and they're losing by 10 points to damn North Carolina, you start to feel a little different, right? Like you start to feel a little different about your decision. So, man, it's a long process. Or let's fast forward to the end of the season. Who says that, you know, who knows if Alabama wins the national championship, right? But they're in very good contentions to do that. Right. One thing we do know, and we haven't came out with our predictions yet, is that I doubt that Louisville is going to be winning those championships, right?
Correct.
And even, let's keep this going one more step. Louisville just lost one of their top receivers.
To Alabama.
Guess where he went? He went to Alabama. So, listen, I hate to try to, you know, be the guy that's throwing a wet blanket on this, but what I'm saying
perspective,
is
perspective, man.
Yeah, it's just perspective, and to give the listeners, this is real stuff. I mean, and I'm giving them real information and just how the recruiting process actually goes. And I wanted to kind of, you know, just inform our listeners on is that, man, it's definitely a marathon. It's exciting because if he does go there, he commits there and he stays committed, that's the best thing possible. The process that I would have liked to see, or I would have been a part of, would have been the Travis Hunter to Jackson State last year, because Deion strategically aligned himself to where he allowed Travis Hunter to stay committed to Florida State throughout the process. Mm-hmm. Nobody was thinking about Jackson State, right? So they had no time to recruit against Jackson State, to poke holes in their game, to talk about Deion, to talk about his family, to talk about, you know, whatever stories they can make up or create to get that kid to be swayed to go to another school. And then what happened? Right before the signing day, 24 hours before, 12 hours before, Deion Sanders, boom, he got everybody, right? And right when everybody was still feeling initial shock, the kid already had signed the paper. So there wasn't much that other people can do, right? And if I was trying to pull off a big-time commitment, that would be more of my strategy, because it's tough as a small school when people are constantly throwing, you know, bullets and, you know, just all type of, you know, slandering your name and things like that. And it's all, and it's a part of the recruiting process. Everybody participates in it, but it's definitely tough. But like I said, man, congratulations to the Louisville Cardinals. Nah, my two words, hold on.
Hold on for dear life. Hold on for dear life. And, not, and I think, I, and to your point, man, as a, I'm glad you gave that information to not only the listeners, but to me as well, because that is pivotal, because it's not done. The work is not done. This is not over, because like you said, now that the gauntlet has been thrown down, per se, now these other schools know, okay, so you're the team I have to shoot down. You're that plane that I have to take out of the sky so that mines can fly high and be seen by everyone. And I think one thing that is working in the favor of Louisville as well, they have the number I believe he's ranked as the 15th overall quarterback in the class, Pierre Clarkson, a dual threat quarterback who, by his quote, he loves the program, he loves the coaching staff, because he's seen what this program has done with the dual threat quarterbacks that they've had, a la Lamar Jackson, and what got it, you know, me and Joe, shout out to my guy, my right tackle, Joe Marino, saw a couple weeks ago down at Quincy Avery's QB takeover, Malik Cunningham, another dynamic dual threat quarterback. And that's what Pierre Clarkson is. And Pierre Clarkson, quote, to what he told 24/7 Sports, I love the Louisville program itself. I see a lot of opportunity for them to turn things around pretty quickly. I plan on bringing in a pretty special 2023 recruiting class with me. You'll see. He's been actively recruiting other recruits to Louisville. So he's out there as another high school kid, another top prospect, out there doing his best salesman job. Like, listen, let's go make magic together. And you talk about the legacy. I think that's big, especially in terms of being able to get some of these kids. If Louisville can sell and use their top 10 recruits that they have to also sell, like, listen, it's one thing to go to Alabama, and yeah, things are going to be well, things will be great. You know what I mean? You're going to be national televised games. You have a lot more.
Like, we can't undersell that, right?
It's going to be great. It's going to be tremendous, right? The opportunities. The thing, but you look at it, you be like, hey, you know, at the same time, Jerome Ford transferred. You know, Alvin Kamara transferred. We've seen multiple guys leave the program because of having to wait behind other five stars. So it's like, what do you want your legacy to be? Do you want your legacy to say, well, I rode that Alabama wave and I got a championship? Or you want to say, I'm at Louisville breaking records, doing my thing. And that puts you in a brighter, in my opinion, especially for us as talent evaluators, if I see you at Louisville rushing for 2,000 yards, killing it in killing it for 2-3 seasons, when it comes to you being a draft prospect, I'm like, okay, you up there, because you are the straw that stirs that drink. You're the engine for that offense, and it speaks differently. It hits different for the legacy when you're the reason rather than just being the key cog to the machine. So I think if they handle it the right way, they can lock it in. But like you said, they got to hold on. Stay in communication with this kid. Let him know. Let him and the family know, hey, we love y'all. We really want to make this a special situation. Because if you mess around, like you said, it could be middle towards the end of the season, SEC championship game. You know, you got the recruits from Alabama calling them like, hey, you know, we in the SEC championship today. Make sure you tune in. And this kid sees, you know, them against Georgia or whoever. And it's like, you know what, man, like this – hey, this is tough. This is tough to watch and not think, man, I could be on this stage.
Yeah, I think this, and we'll say this, right? the Deion Sanders situation pulling down Travis Hunter was special, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a, how do we put this? It was a turning point that involved NIL and the new, I guess, new wave of college football, right? That things are changing, right? It was another indicator that things are changing. But I would say this, if Louisville is able to hold on to Reuben Owens throughout this whole process, that would be even bigger. That would be even bigger because Louisville doesn't have, you know, the name and the cachet that Deion Sanders has as a person, right? He is his own brand. He is a university himself, right? So if that coaching staff is able to hold on, I think that'll be a key indicator that, yeah, like we truly are in different times, right? And it's not like this kid is from Kentucky. Like this kid is from, I believe he has some Louisiana ties, but he's from Texas. I think it's El Campo, Texas or something like that, right? So, you know, he has no ties to Kentucky. I seen their official visit and, man, they pulled out the stops. I believe it was like Jets and Lamborghinis and, you know, it was everything, right? It was, I'm more than sure it was millions of dollars, you know, worth of aircrafts and, you know, other automobiles involved in his official visit. But, man, I think that if they're able to hold on to him, yeah, it's definitely that. I think that's even more of a, I would hate to say a red flag, but like I said, an indicator that things are definitely changing in college football.
For sure, man. I mean, and that's at the end of the day, you know, that's what Nick Saban wants, right? He wants parity. That's what he talked about. Nick Saban said he wanted parity. He wanted things to be more widespread. We're going to see how happy he is with, you know, as these new, as the news continue to roll in. And we talk about news rolling in. Shout out to Brian Hartline over at Ohio State real quick. I might as well call this man the GOAT. Because Keith.
Oh wow! Okay.
I mean, what he is doing right now, as a wide receiver coach at Ohio State, you know, looking at the talent they already have on their roster, Keith. This man went out and got three more. And I think in back to back dates, wasn't it Drake that made that diss track? The Meek Mill back to back. Ohio State was back to back to back. Where it was like five star receivers. And that really led me to this question, Keith. Is Ohio State the new wide receiver U?
You know my answer to this. Of course not. Of course not. As long as Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, we still have one in the chamber, right, that's ready to explode, talking about Kayshon Boutte. You know, so it is definitely LSU. It's definitely those Bayou Bengals. It is definitely Tigers. It's Louisiana animals. You know, I can throw out all the phrases. That is proven. You know, they may be pretty good in college, but LSU is definitely wide receiver U. And if you know, NFL teams need a wide receiver, they know where to go. You know, they go to the boot, and so LSU is definitely wide receiver U. But I will say this. I agree with you. Shout out to Coach Hartline and just what he's able to do to be able to stack those receivers on top of each other and even just recruiting classes, right? That is one of the most difficult things to do, to sit down in a meeting with kids and parents who are five stars and tell them that they may have to sit down next year because you have other five stars in front of them playing right now. And still get a kid to come to the school because that kid has been playing probably since he was in the seventh, eighth grade, right? He has no idea what it feels like to just sit on a bench. He's never sat on a bench a day in his life. And then you're going to tell him why these other 30, 40 schools want him to start immediately that he has to sit on a bench in order to come to your school. So shout out to that coach for doing that because that's a masterful job. And I think it's a testament to probably the culture that he's building there. And I think the culture is this, right? And we've seen it with other programs. Alabama has done a good job of it with certain positions is that, listen, we'll put you on a field when you're ready. And just understand that when you're ready, you're going to play your best. And if you play your best, the NFL is going to come. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's year one, year two, or year three. You want to put out good film for the NFL talent evaluators. We don't want to put you out there early and you're not ready. You're developing bad habits and there's bad film out there. So I think that that's more so the conversation that he's having with those guys. But yeah, man, they're killing the game. Ohio State is killing the game. And I see it's LSU right now. But 5 years from now, who knows, right? Because they just had two wide receivers go in the first round with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. You have what on this current draft eligible class? You have obviously Jackson Smith, and then also somebody just hanging in the weeds that nobody's paying attention to is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right?
Like he's just sitting there like his dad is not a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and he hasn't been learning
Super Bowl this champion.
Yeah, like he hasn't been learning how to run routes his whole life. So I'm expecting him to explode too. So, but I would like to return the question back to you. Who is wide receiver you for Damian Parsons?
Man, listen, it's always been a two-horse race for me, man. And it was always Alabama and LSU. And you know the countless names that LSU has thrown into the league.
Yeah, just it's
Justin countless. Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Odell, Jarvis. Heck, I can go back years. Devery Henderson, Brandon LaFell, Dwayne Bowe, Reuben Randall. Like, they've thrown in so many names, right? Alabama, Amari Cooper. You know, now you have Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle. You got Calvin Ridley. You had Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, I'm almost blanking on the other guy's name. Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. Jalen Waddle. And it's like, you know, of course, Julio, one of the GOATs. Like Julio, you know, being the top guy. Cam Sims. Like they've put in numerous of just talent. Like both schools. That it was a two-horse race for me. But then I'm going to go back to Ohio State. And I want to start kind of like a timeline. Let's go to 2019 recruiting class. This is kind of where Brian Hartline's hands really started molding this program with receivers, right? He at the time he was a quality control coach, and remember that was the whole scandal with Zach Smith and Urban Meyer and their departure, and all that stuff that was going on. 2019, Hartline was able to help them secure Garrett Wilson and Jameson Williams. 2020, Julian Fleming, Jackson Smith and Jigba, G. Scott Jr., Mookie Cooper. 2021, Emeka. This last name. Egbuka. There we go.
Egbuka.
Marvin Harrison Jr., who just alluded to. Jaden Ballard. 2022, Caleb Brown. Kion Grace. Caleb Burton. Kojo Antwi. And then, of course, this class with, you know, the three guys they just secured with Brandon Ennis, Carnell Tate, Noah Rogers, and then they also have a Bryson Rogers. So it's like, okay, now I will say, Keith, the NFL talent that they've put in has not been the greatest, right? You know, the Noah Browns, the Paris Campbells, you know, the Austin Max, right? It just hasn't been great. It hasn't been great. But, you know, they've also put in, you know, Michael Thomas, Terry McLaurin. When healthy, Curtis Samuels is a dog. So they've put in some quality plays. They've put guys in the league. But you could tell that the tides is solid, right? But the tides is changing a bit. And I think they pose the greatest threat to those two schools at Alabama and LSU, just from off the recruiting prowess. Granted, Jameson Williams, again, being stuck behind the litany of receivers, say, I'm out and I'm going to Bama. He went to Bama and became a first-round pick. But even in this class, they had two – they lost. They could have had three if they played. You know, Jameson Williams. They would have had themselves three first round picks from their school if they played him. You know, instead of playing Jackson Smith and Jigba as much, but it worked out for him. Still worked out for all parties, I'd say. But yeah, like what they're doing, Keith, is just short of phenomenal in terms of recruiting. And like I said, they had two receivers drafted in the top. 20 picks, one going top 10 with Garrett Wilson, and then Chris Olave going to the Saints. The tide is definitely changing. So while Alabama and LSU, like, to give a definitive answer, man, that is tough. That is real tough. I got right now, like, especially looking at how everything's worked out in the NFL, I got to go LSU. You know what I mean? Because right now we're still waiting. You know, Henry Ruggs got himself into a bad situation with his bad decision, which has now got him out of the league. We're waiting on a healthy Jerry Jeudy, who now has Russell Wilson as his quarterback. Hopefully Jalen Hurts can now, you know, with A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith can take it to the next level. We know what Jalen Waddle is. We know, you know Calvin Ridley's suspended right now due to the whole sports betting situation. And he'll be back next year, but he's one of the better receivers in the league when he's in. So it's like LSU with Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Odell, Jarvis. Yeah, it's tough to argue right now. You know what I mean? Because Alabama's their recent young horses are still kind of building their way up, and we got to see them take that next step, per se, to really being in the upper echelon right now. Because LSU legitimately has two receivers within the top, I say, top 12 receivers in the league, that you could say. And Bama does not have that, doesn't have that many right now. So it's LSU. But what I'm seeing from Ohio State, I got to come back to the Buckeyes.
But yeah, you got to go back. Go ahead.
I got to go back to the Buckeyes. What they're doing is just phenomenal, man. And being able to get these this many 4- and 5-star recruits at one position, it's literally, Keith, it looks, their wide receiver room looks like Bama's running back room all these years. How yeah. Bama was stashing 4- and 5-star running backs. I remember a picture. I think it was Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, was it Kenyon Drake, and like Alvin Kamara or something like that. It was just like, yeah. Bro, all of these guys are starting running backs in the NFL at some point since they've been drafted. They all sat but on the same roster. It's just unreal. So now you're seeing the situation in Ohio State, which of course we know other schools are going to be coming for some of these kids who don't want to wait, right? You know, we all know that. Like we talked, like you talked about with Louisville. Hold on, some of the, and with having the plentiful and just ridiculous riches at the receiver position for Ohio State, yeah, they can. It's not going to hurt them to lose two of these guys to other schools. But man, you know what they're doing right now? They're working their way closer and closer to that wide receiver you think, but it all depends if these guys go in the league and ball out like LSU and Bama guys have.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listening to you, man, I can tell that you're slowly becoming a Buckeye fan.
No. I am not going up to Ohio unless I'm going to see a game. Shout out to the Buckeyes. You know, I would definitely take some seats, but no, that's about it. That's it. You know, just evaluate talent. You know what I mean? But you know, that is, like I said, Buckeye fans, be happy, be patient, but be excited for what Brian Hartline is doing. This man deserves a freaking raise because he is out here killing the game. And of course, as always, killing the game. Shout out to our partners over at BetOnline. Like I said, the NHL Finals is going on right now. We're getting closer and closer to NFL season. So let's go ahead and get started. And let's make some money. All right, let's make some money together. So definitely go over to BetOnline and use our promo code Believe, BLEAV. Keith, brother, that is our show, man. And, you know, we always tell everybody we appreciate all the love and support. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any podcasting app or site that you use. I'm pretty sure we are on it. Leave us 5-star review. You can leave us questions in the comment section, whatever. We just appreciate all the love and support. I'm Damian Parson. As always, that is my guy, my co-host Keith Sanchez. And Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
Remember, talent is always the factor.